consecutive time in the last six seasons. The Dutch are the champions.
This is Gary O'Neill to win it.
They've got it. Terrific header. Callum Robinson. Super ball in.
Great feeling. We have to treasure these nights.
Hello there, I'm Adrian Eames. James O'Toole from Soccer Republic is also here. And James, we said this before, to stream, perchance to stream. I gather you're in a bit of a I told you so mood.
Yeah, kind of, I have to say, since I've been banging this drum since early March.
Yeah, I can almost smell the smugness.
No, Adrian, I'm not that type of person to get smug over something I was right about.
Go on, tell us why you're feeling good.
I think it's a great idea. I think we were discussing this. I think probably the third week in March when streaming was first announced, that despite what people thought, the infrastructure was there. We have been saying it ever since. So it'd be great to get it going. I think I know Conan's with us. I don't know if he's there now, but I know he mentioned in his article that he thinks the pricing is spot on. I think the pricing's spot on as well. Just a euro a game, including some FAI Cup games, not just Premier Division games as well. So I'm sure you're excited about it as well, Adrian.
Oh, absolutely.
Get a mic in front of you as well.
So yeah, absolutely.
I think it's a positive move for everybody.
Yeah, okay. You mentioned Conan Byrne of, the 42.ie. You've been writing about this, of course, Conan, and you're expecting big things.
I am. I just think it's a wonderful and fantastic initiative and that it's a potential game changer for the League of Ireland, Adrian.
Game changer why?
I think it's just in terms of progressing the league, making it attractive for a potential new audience, albeit in a virtual way at the moment. Getting those armchair and laptop fans having a look at our league rather than foreign leagues, and to see what the real quality is like. And we've been singing from the rafters about it for the last decade, how good the league is. So I think now is the time for them to see that.
But do you think they're the kind of people who will necessarily buy this product, because if they're Sky Sports fans in terms of Premiership football, are they going to subscribe to a home-based streaming service? Maybe they're just not interested.
Well, I think the pricing allows them that opportunity to test it out, just to see what it's going to be like. I think, now, having said that, I think the quality of production needs to be there, and it's brilliant the way RTE have got on board with commentators that are all very experienced. Obviously, the camera quality will have to be up to scratch, but the clubs there's a chance for the clubs now to make the most out of this initiative as well. We need it to be good, or we need it to be great, should I say. We don't want it to be good. Just needs to be ramped up by the clubs and pre and post match analysis, club features, even have quizzes on, like I've talked about in the article. I think that's very, very important. Sponsors can't be forgotten about. This is the time to say thank you to them. I was looking at a couple of streams with empty stands, and why not ask the sponsors, design your own banner and we'll put it up in the seats of the stadium. Simple things like this, cost-effective measures that the clubs can do to make this a complete success.
Pat, what are your thoughts? Conan mentioned game changer there. Do you think the streaming service could be a game changer?
I think we it's something we've got to look to develop. You know, anything that's going to enhance the league, you know, has to be applauded, and it's a great initiative from everybody involved. You know, I think what Conan said is important. The quality has got to be good from the start, and then obviously try grow that and make it better. We played last night at Tolka against Shells, and I think they used that as a bit of a trial run. So it'll be interesting to see how that went. But I think it is a massive positive for us when we can't get supporters into the ground. It's how we market it now is the real key to it. We're looking, we know the genuine loyal fans will come and watch the League of Ireland team play when they can come back or online. But if we can attract, you know, a newer breed of supporters to that. So it's important that the quality is of a high calibre. My only concern is some of the grounds need to be, and maybe what Conan said there as well about, you know, making sure the grounds are properly structured before we show games is something that the club should be looking into fairly quickly. You know, but listen, it's a great initiative and hopefully it takes off for them all.
Yeah, James, the value is there. Certainly €55 for season passes. You can buy a game at a fiver a pop, €69 if you're overseas. Certainly very good for fans. And I'm not just saying this because RTE are involved, but season ticket holders at clubs are getting it for free. So it seems like everybody's winning. And of course, the clubs will generate and get some of the money that becomes available.
Yeah, I think the value is there. The price point is there. The price point is exactly where you would like it to be at a Euro a game. And as I said, like, there will be FAI Cup games that are going to be thrown into this as well. Pat mentioned there the test of it last night. There was a test last night at Talca Park that I believe went very well for its first run out to see how it actually works. And that was a two-camera setup. So there was two cameras working there on the match last night, and then replays ran in as well just to see how much we can expand the service, basically, to make sure it's a decent product that it goes out. Price point-wise, I think, is great. As Conan said, I don't know if you're going to get an armchair supporter to watch it, to tell you the truth. The people who go to League of Ireland grounds are the people who this is pitched towards. So maybe there could be, when we get into Monday night games or something like that, there's a set of Monday night games that have to come up. Maybe that's given out for free for one set to get people in, or one match is given out for free just to get armchair people to go, actually, this is what it's like. Let's have a look at it. And then they can buy the season pass as it is. But yeah, price point, if you're a League of Ireland fan, it works for you. You can get to see your team play in every single game, and you get to see all the other games as well. And as games aren't going to go head-to-head against each other for the first couple of weeks anyway, it's a bargain, really. You get to see all the games.
Yeah, and you're a TV guy, so tell us what fans can expect in terms of the streaming service, the quality of it.
The quality is going to be full HD. It's exactly the same system that we use on our Friday Night Live games, if anybody's watched them over the last season and a half, where we're getting footage in from the grounds live into our trucks at the side of the pitch. Say if we're in Dundalk and there's four other grounds playing away, we're getting feeds back in live that we're editing and putting out after the game to show highlights of. So it's that full HD system. Some games, I'm not going to say all the games are going to have two cameras in it, but some games will have two cameras in it. And when you match that against our live games as well, I think the production will be top notch. And as you said, like, we've commentators at all the grounds who know their stuff, who are fans of the League of Ireland. And the energy is going to be there from them. It's new. It's probably not going to be 100% right come the first night. There will be glitches, and I've no question of that. But it's something to build on and then make even better as we go along.
Yeah. And I guess the other big plus point as well, Pat, is that managers and players can watch matches back. It's not just the live stream that you can watch, but you can also go back and watch a match from last week. So that's going to be hugely beneficial for managers.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in a time where they may not be able to get other people into the grounds to watch games, at least they're getting, like you say, being able to go through maybe the following week's opposition and have a look at the game. So from that point of view, I'm sure the managers will be delighted with that. They've probably had to rely on, you know, reports or getting DVDs somewhere. So from that point of view, it will help them going forward. I think James says there, it's a starting point, you know, and it's important that we try to build it and make it better over a period of time. The pricing is fantastic. I think that's the real plus for me, that they've got that spot on, that gives people a chance. And you're talking about, you know, trying to attract the new people in, but it's important that we don't forget the people who've been going on a regular basis and keeping the league going, you know, by coming in, week out all over the country, that they're getting looked after as well in this package.
Yeah. Is it too cheap? Because somebody said that to me.
Listen, you never, you know, if it had been dear, it would have been too dear. So I think, you know, for a starting point, short season, you know, I think it's modelled quite well, you know, to see how it goes and can, like I said, can it be developed, can it be built on over a period of time?
The other thing as well, James, is, and I don't expect you to start divulging the cost of things necessarily, but feel free to tell us what you can. But I see it, and I understand the frustration of people because they say, well, there's nothing happening at the moment. Why don't RTE put this match or whatever match out on television? But screening matches is a very expensive business, and I don't want to be patronising, but a lot of people don't perhaps take that on board, how expensive it actually is.
Yeah, it's an expensive job. Putting out a live game, especially with ourselves, you're talking 7 or 8 cameras on each game, studio, big OB trucks, etc., etc. So this is, like, make no bones about this, this can be a loss leader for the rest of this season. There's no profit. The clubs will make some money out of it, but there's no profit for any broadcaster for doing this at the moment, if you know what I mean, at the price they're hitting. But the price they're hitting is there to make sure the fans get what they need. And it's not always the big, bold broadcaster, be it RTE or AIR. Like these guys are, like, with ourselves and AIR, that this is a complete lost loser. There's nobody making money on this.
And Conan, if it is successful and it proves to be successful for the remainder of this season, do you see this as something, you mentioned game changing, do you think this is a game changer in terms of the long term investment in the league, in terms of cameras and streaming? And if it is, the follow-on question then has to be, will it affect crowds going to matches if we get to a stage where fans can return past the gates?
I don't think so. I think going forward now, obviously, with COVID-19, there's going to be a lot of people, especially the older generation, that's going to be afraid to go to League of Ireland games in future years. I think that's just going to be the reality of it. So this gives even those people the option of watching live games through the streaming. As I said, I think nobody can argue with the fact that nothing beats a live match. Gone, the atmosphere, the build-up, hearing the roars from the side, from the stands, from the players, nothing will beat that. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't think that will affect the League of Ireland audience themselves. I think this streaming device, this streaming service now is going to offer the platform for new fans to come and see what the League of Ireland is all about. And I think that's going to be the main positive to take from this. We've talked about, I remember seeing it a lot during lockdown, that the Belarus League was the only league that people were watching during lockdown. Most of the European leagues are going to be finished now. Premier League is finished this weekend. So there's no reason why those overseas subscribers can't subscribe to watching the League of Ireland, considering it could be the only league that's going to be taking place for the month of August. Mm. So even that alone could be of benefit to the clubs in the league as well.
I think, Adrian, one thing that's got to take into account to this as well, we've seen at the start of the League of Ireland side a big increase in attendances in most stadiums, you know, take Shells, Shamrock Rovers, Derry, Dundalk, you know, Bohemians, big increases all over the country, which is brilliant. And probably just this hit at the wrong time for them clubs, because it was a game of momentum, you know, the decent crowds coming into the. So we have to try, you know, continue to hit that market, that people that were there, and keep them interested in the game. We've been off for a long time. We have a too long off season as well when it comes around. So I think, you know, it's about trying to entice more people into the stadiums. We did what that reason was, I don't know. I don't know why the gates were. Maybe people are fed up a little bit watching, you know, football on telly and wanted that live. You know, it's so far away from us now, the Premier League and all that goes with it. You know, that maybe people just thought, you know what, there's a game down the road, I'll go and watch. Yeah, it's my local team. So, but it'd be good to see, can we, you know, how them figures go when we get back playing again in relation to the streaming, what sort of numbers it is. But it was great to see at the start of the season. I went to a few games and to see the crowds, you know, particularly at Tulk of Shells, only back up 3,300, like, brilliant for them, you know. So, you know, long may that continue with this streaming as well.
Yeah, that's a matter of interest, Conan. As an ex-Shelburne player, have you a theory on that? Not just Shelburne, but the broad point that Pat makes there about crowds being up before the COVID lockdown.
Well, I always thought Shelburne was a sleeping giant, being in the first division anyway. But I think the underage structures might have helped in this. Players having an identity at under 13, under 15, under 17 and under 19. There's a lot of players involved in the club. And they might want to go and see what the first team are all about and see who the local heroes, the potential stars. And I also think as well, I think the community work being done at clubs does need to improve, but there has been a lot of work done at Shelburne, at Bohemians, at Cork City under the More Than a Club programme that the FAI ran for those two clubs. And I think a lot more can be done within the community as well to get people back, not get people back, to get new people to watch the games. But absolutely, I think the underage structures definitely has helped, along with some of the community initiatives that clubs have developed over the last couple of years.
Okay. And James, just on this coming weekend, of course, the league resumes, the first match for live streaming available on watchloi.ie. You get all the details there. It's Derry City against Sligo Rovers. Looking forward to being there for that. Pat's on duty on Friday night alongside George for live TV coverage of Dundalk against St. Pat's. Are you looking forward to that one, Pat?
I'm looking forward to, yeah, just looking forward to getting back. I've watched a couple of our own games over the last week and it's been great just to get back watching live football, proper football. But yeah, it's I think you're looking at Dundalk, St. Pat's, and I think Dundalk now, they have to start well. They've had a little habit of maybe, you know, not starting, you know, like a house on fire, and gradually, even last year, building towards the end of the season. It won't get away with it in this short spell, so they've got to start really, really positive and really quickly. And I'm sure Pat's will be looking at that, you know, is that European place, is that still a possibility for them? So I'm looking forward, it should be a good game.
Yeah, lots of matches around, of course, at the weekend. Also on Friday night in the First Division, Athlone against Wexford, Bray against Cove, Galway United against Cabinteely, and UCD against Longford Town. Then on Saturday, a double helping of live streaming matches. Watchloi.ie. Shamrock Rovers against Finn Harps is at 5. Darragh Maloney will be on mic duty for that one. And before that, Stephen Alkin will be watching Shells against Waterford. And then on Sunday at 5 o'clock, live stream available through Watchloi.ie. If you sign up there, commentary from Turner's Cross in Cork. From Jerry Canning on Cork City against Bowes. And there's also one First Division match that afternoon at Tallaght Stadium. It's Shamrock Rovers seconds against, well, I should say Shamrock Rovers 2, isn't it? Shamrock Rovers 2 against Drogheda United. That game kicks off at 3 o'clock. But of course, the SSE Electricity League Premier Division season resuming on Friday. And people are really looking forward to it. Here's John Kenny.
And now the corner can happen. It's Duffy. Oh, what a goal! What a goal that is! Incredible strike, absolutely won the strike at the back post. What a finish, what a corner kick, drilled to the back post, and a hell of a finish. The chance of a goal in the season last week, but my God, what a finish, absolutely splendid goal.
Jordan Flores met that on the meet. The technique of that is unbelievable.
Jordan Flores' volley, which brought the champions Dundalk level in Tala at the end of February this year, has been viewed over 6 million times and has been tipped for the FIFA Puskas Award for the year's best goal. Not long after the COVID-19 crisis, though, shut down the League of Ireland. And finally, after protracted negotiations, the SSE Electricity League resumes next Friday night. There's a new initiative as well, as RTÉ Sport and the league have teamed up to offer fans a €55 season ticket to watch LOI, or one can buy individual games for €5. And every game can be seen either live on RTÉ Television, Air Sport, or on the Watch LOI platform. Dundalk's first game is against St Pat's next Friday night. And the Lily White's Daniel Kelly is happy to be back, as he told our soccer correspondent, Tony O'Donoghue.
The league usually is a marathon, but this time, with all the stuff that's gone on this year, it's a bit of a sprint. So I think it's there's a lot of teams that could actually win the league this year. You just need to go on a little run, and it's when you go on a run in this league, it's hard to stop you. But the Champions League is the one that everybody looks forward to, the European games, and it's only one game this year. So if you get a bit of luck in the draw, you don't know where you could end up. But hopefully we can go one better this time.
Is there a chance, perhaps, though, that because the Champions League is so important for so many reasons, that will take your full attention?
It does be in the back of your head, but obviously the league is the bread and butter at the moment, and we won't be in the Champions League next year if we don't win the league. So you want to be winning the league. That's the main priority, and if we do well in Europe, then it's absolutely fantastic. But we need to get going the league straight away. As I said, it's a bit of a sprint, so you don't want to be slacking straight away. We want to kick off with another win.
Dundalk, however, have a little catching up to do, as Shamrock Rovers have a 3-point lead at the top of the table, having won 5 out of 5 before lockdown, including a 3-2 win over Dundalk. Here's the Hoops defender, Roberto Lopez.
Yeah, obviously we built up a good bit of momentum, like with the 5 wins, like, but again, like, that means nothing now because it's a fresh start in my head, and we kind of have to do it again and try and hit that ground running and see if we can pick up points and get a bit more of the momentum that we had at the start of the season and drive it on for the 13 games.
You've had brilliant atmospheres at Tala, not least in the night against Dundalk in that particularly good game. It's going to be very strange without fans, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, and it's like, especially say in Tallaght Stadium, like it's an incredible atmosphere, and the fans play a big part in how we play and create a real spectacle on the night. Like, but we have to be professional, and then we have to generate our own atmosphere and really make it lively for ourselves, and hopefully that comes true in the new stream.
It's a 2-horse race still, would you think?
No, I don't think so. I think especially now with 13 games, if you have a bad spell where you lose three in the bounce, like everything just tightens up in the league. So I just think it's a clean slate and it's nearly like a fresh start to the league. So everyone has to be ready to go.
The very first live stream game next Friday will be the Northwest Derby between Derry City and Sligo Rovers. Sligo have a real battle on their hands, however, to avoid the drop. John Dunleavy of Sligo, however, is looking forward to the challenge.
It's been a long time coming after an uncertain few months, really, for everyone. So it's going to be great to get back out on the pitch and a nice, tough start up in the Brandywell.
And what about the streaming? It means that your fans will get an opportunity to see, even though, sadly, for the moment, at least, they can't be there.
Well, as far as I can see, it's a fantastic initiative. And, you know, to give people a break, probably from the difficulties of normal life at the moment, to go and watch football, it's going to be fantastic for them. They can watch every game from now to the end of the season. And I really do hope that it turns out to be a roaring success, you know.
With Sligo in particular, you've had to do a lot of fundraising recently, and yet the town and the county have come behind you.
Well, I've never seen anything like it myself. I mean, I think they had $50,000 raised maybe in 2 or 3 days, and it just shows the support, the level of support that's there for the club, the passion that the people have, and you know, for us as players, it's just it's a privilege to be able to play in front of passionate people like that. Unfortunately, we won't be able to do that for the next couple of months, but we know well that they'll be getting behind us from the couch at home.
Now, there's been some confusion, I suppose, and finally cleared up as to when the league was coming back and for how many games it would be played for. We now know that. We also know the promotion relegation situation. Are Sligo worried about that?
I don't think so. Look, I mean, we had a frustrating start. It's clear for everyone to see, but there were a number of reasons possibly for that, a number of games that we could have got results out of that we didn't. And we also had a massive number of players injured at that time, and particularly in defence. So a lot of those lads are back fit now. They're raring to go, and the squad looks strong. So I think we're very excited to get back playing.
Cork City have only picked up 3 points in their opening five games. City's Dara O'Connor will be part of the squad that faces Bohemians on Sunday week.
The bottom line now is we are back. We've had 3 or 4 months where there was times where we probably didn't think we were going to get back in the football pitch. So the fact that we're able to get back training to some form of normality, it's a bit of a relief. Look, you spend all the off-season in November, December wanting to get back playing. You spend all January working hard to get fit, and 5 games in, it's pulled from you. So that part was frustrating. You'd build up a long time to get back playing, and it's pulled from you before you even get started. So we've had a long 2 or 3 months to think about where we are in the table and kind of get fit, and bottom line is get out of where we are at the moment. I think everyone now is on that page.
There's no denying, though, that you're in the wrong end of the table, that you are in relegation trouble.
Yeah, look, you look at the league table and we're at the bottom in red, which you never want to see. And Cork doesn't belong there. I think a lot of people would agree with that. But look, results have put us there. We weren't dealt a nice hand starting off. We had a lot of tough fixtures, but the way we look at it is they're out of the way now. We've a lot of winnable games coming up.
That's Dara O'Connor of Cork City. Conan, Pat mentioned it, so too did Pico Lopez of Shamrock Rovers, Daniel Kelly of Dundalk, the importance of starting on the front foot come the weekend. It's easier said than done, perhaps, but there's really no time for teams bedding in. They do really have to hit the ground running because they've only got 13, 14 matches to go, so they have to go at it.
Yeah, it's going to be a different kind of scenario where coaches and managers are going to have to talk to their players about that important aspect. It all depends on hitting the ground running and gaining that early confidence. And I think we'll see. It's time now for the young players to shine. I think Pat probably will be able to speak better than I will. But young players can be tentative in front of large crowds at games. So there'll be no chorus of boos from their own or opposition fans if they try something that may not work out. So I think it's time for the young players maybe to shine in this time now and be positive and go out and create something and make a name for themselves in these games. So I'm really looking forward to it, looking forward to the 13 games because, as Daniel Kelly said there, it is more like a sprint than a marathon. And it should be very, very interesting to come the season end.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point when you spoke about the other day. You watched the Linfield Bowes game again, talking about young players and players that maybe, you know, struggle with crowds and you know, go under a little bit when they get a bit of stick. As Conan says there, it's a chance to go on without any real pressure on, you know. The pressure comes obviously when you get back to real football, that there's the result counts and there's something at stake, you know. But it is, sometimes it can be difficult for younger players. So there's a lot of younger players in the league at the moment and developing and finding their way. So it'll be interesting to see how they cope and how the senior players as well. You look at Rovers, you know, talk about crowds. Bowes' crowd has been fantastic for the last couple of seasons. How did they deal with that in Dalymount? Because the crowd is really important there. You know, Rovers have big gates. So it'd be interesting to see how all the clubs deal with it. But I just think the fact that it's so short a season now, you know, when you're looking at the top end of the table, I don't agree with Roberto there. I think there's two teams in it. I think the gap has got bigger. And I think, you know, if one of them flinches, you know, Rovers are in the ascendancy at the moment, that they have that little cushion. If they start well and Dundalk don't start well, and it's a long way back, you know. So I think the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season are going to be vitally important.
And if you're managing nowadays, you know, this season, and given that, you know, the lengthy layoff and the fact that there's no crowds and how that changes the dynamics of the occasion, what would you be doing or what would you be saying to players in terms of motivation for a game, say, on a Friday night? Because you mentioned Dalymount Park, and there's always that ripple that goes through the crowd just before kickoff. Same at Oriel Park, right around the country, Tallaght Stadium's the same. That buzz won't be there. So whilst initially players will be all possibly talking the talk and saying we have to hit the ground running. The reality is 10 minutes in, no crowd. It's going to be difficult enough for players to cope with, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it will be. And I think if you were to lose a couple of games, then it might be more difficult because you're down and you're feeling that little bit of tempo. But the other side of that, it's about self-motivation for players. You look across the league, the top two we know have that motivation to be in the Champions League, to win a title. You know, the other teams sort of in their slipstream looking to be in Europe. There's four or five teams thinking we don't want to be in that scrap at the end, relegation or a playoff. So, you know, it's about self-motivation for players, and it's again what type of characters you have in that dressing room. But it will be missed. We talk about, you know, about the Premier League and missing their crowds. You know, it will be missed at League of Ireland level as well, because, you know, there's a lot of ground you go to where you can hear what you're being called. You know, we won't miss that, I suppose, for a change. But no, it will be interesting to see how players and managers deal with it.
Yeah. James, is there any one game next weekend that, you know, stands out for you for any particular reason?
Well, I think they're all going to be interesting games. You said there about the no crowds and all that. So one person I feel sorry for is the ref. Like, the ref is going to have to keep up his game as well. Like, so if there's no abuse coming from the stands of him, he won't know he's done anything wrong. So there's that as well. Yeah. I think, do you know what's going to be interesting, and it was made interesting yesterday, was that Derry-Sligo game with the signing of Junior to Sligo. Mm. I think that's going to make that very, very interesting. But as you said, all these teams are going to have to get out of the gate quicker than Kieran McGeehan can do in 800 metres. That's how quick this season's going to be over. So that's how quick they're going to have to be hitting the ground running as soon as we go. Dundalk can't have their slow starts as we've seen over the last couple of years. They just can't do it, because Rovers will just romp away with it. And other clubs, if they want Europe or if they want to stay away from relegation, which means that nearly every single game, fingers crossed, is going to be a cracker.
Yeah, and you mentioned the signing there by Sligo Rovers of Junior. What about the two Derry lads that have joined, James Akintunde and Adam Hamill? Hamill, who played under Declan Devine at Dunfermline a few years back. What are your thoughts on those two signings?
I think it's great. I think Declan constantly signs people who commentators can barely mention their second name. I think that seems to be the thread that he signs players on. I think we needed someone up front, and James is probably that person to do it. Hamill, obviously, he's seen him. He's a former England under 21 international. Declan knows him well, and there could be two cute signings, but it's an odd time for any signing to come into a club, to tell you the truth. I'm sure Pat would tell you, even if you are bringing in someone in the summer, for the rest of the season, it's quite odd for them to get to the feeling of the league and the feeling of the team they're playing with. Conan will probably tell you as well, playing alongside guys who've come in that side, that part of the season with the clubs he's been with as well, it can be a bit odd for them.
Yeah, Pat, what about Adam Hamill and James Akintunde? You might be familiar with Adam Hamill.
Yeah, I've seen a bit of him. Listen, he's a good player. He's played at a decent level. I think Derry would have looked, may have been a little bit concerned that they hadn't got players in them positions if they hadn't have, and the two good recruits for them. You know, but James is right. It's probably a hard one for managers in the league at the moment about going outside to pick players with such a small contract that you're offering them if it's only till the end of the season. So they've done well to recruit there. They've lost some decent players there as well. But they will be expecting, I think, to be nipping away at Bowes again for that third spot.
Conan, is there a match next weekend that you find perhaps particularly intriguing?
I think the one that RTE are going to be looking at it. Dundalk Pats with Stevie O'Donnell heading back up the M1 for the first time. Not for the first time, sorry, but just in going back up there, I'm sure he's a few tactical tricks up his sleeve now. Robbie Benson heading back up as well, and it'll be an interesting to see how they'll get on. I think Cork City and Bohemians as well. Danny Mandroyo went off injured last night, and his replacement, Dawson Devoy, came on and scored a goal, and I'm very, very fond of him. I think he's an outstanding talent. So I wonder if he's going to be on the pitch next week. And surprisingly, Liam Boston hasn't arrived back into the country yet from Belgium. He was their main goalkeeper, number one, for the first couple of games, did reasonably well. And yeah, so they're going to be missing him, obviously, if he comes back in before then. He'll have to quarantine for a couple of weeks. So they could be in real trouble. I've serious reservations about Cork City being in the Premier Division next season.
You think they might go down?
I think so. I think with Sligo signing Junior, I think they needed a striker up there. Ronan Coughlin was doing very, very well. He scored actually two goals today in a pre-season friendly at AM&TC Park. So I'm sure he's got a bit of confidence under his belt. And then with Junior coming in as well, they have that potent strike force that could score goals in this league. Junior has proven that. I'm very, very surprised that Declan didn't go after him again, considering he finished top scorer last season. That was a very interesting decision from Declan's point of view. I'm sure he has his he has his decisions on why he didn't try and get him in. So yeah, I think that Cork will really struggle. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Pat? Where do you sit with regards to Cork and?
Yeah, I do fear for Cork because you look at them, you know, and it's probably a club that we could do without getting relegated, to be honest. And that doesn't give them the divine right to stay in the league. But, you know, they were very poor before. They did have a real hard start, in fairness to Neil Fenn. He did say that. You know, they signed a lot of players. You know, I think he's you know, a lot of loan players, you know, for a season. But your concern for them at the moment is if they're down there in a scrap with the likes of Harps, you know, who are used to a scrap, maybe Waterford, you know, Waterford will maybe have sights on being a little bit hurt. I think Sligo, I think I think it's probably helped Sligo in regards to, you know, they've had a lot of injuries at the start of the season. They've got some of them boys back now. They've made a couple of astute signings as well. So, yeah, I do fear for Cork at the moment, you know, because it's like I said, that the only thing that you can say for them is, you know, you look at it as, right, we're starting again. You know, we need to get some points on the board early and give ourselves confidence. But I'm not sure about the squad they have at the moment, they're where they're equipped for a scrap down that end of the table.
Yeah, and with your old Watford hat on, what do you think about their chances?
Listen, it's a hard job for John. He's come in and, you know, I'm sure the people down there will be helping him. And they've kept, I think, a lot of the players that they had. They lost a few of the loanies as such, but I think, you know, most of the squad, I looked at the side they had out last night against Bray, and, you know, there's the nucleus of a decent 11 there. So I think Waterford will be okay. Like I said, I think we talk about teams getting relegated and relegation fights, and you look at Finn Harps and the job that Ollie's done there is fantastic over a period of time, you know, and I'm sure they want to be in another scrap, but, you know, I think, you know, for me, it's probably Harps and Cork that will be scrapping down that end of the table.
Okay. All right, James, hardly a week goes by that we don't talk about the All-Ireland League and the talk about an All-Ireland League. And of course, the latest news in that regard, 10 of the SSE or Tricity League Premier Division clubs writing to the FAI, urging them to submit a proposal for an All-Ireland League to UEFA. 10 of the 12 clubs in the Danske Premiership in the north also sending a letter to the Irish Football Association that they're looking in a similar direction towards an All-Ireland League. Cliftonville and Dungannon, the two clubs who opted out of supporting that particular route. Seems to be something bubbling there, doesn't there?
Yeah, there definitely does. I think, as I said, like, in fairness, we mentioned this last week, how good Kieran Lucid's his plan he put together got people thinking, which was the main thing in the first place. And it seems that the Premier Division teams have definitely come to an idea that I think it's the third or fourth incarnation of the idea where the league is kept as it is and then champions and stuff like that then play cross-border against each other. I think that's the idea behind it. I think the only thing from a UEFA point of view and a footballing in the long run point of view was that we were expecting by this stage to see, I think, the Belgium and Dutch leagues joining together. But that idea seems to have gone on the back burner. I think if that idea had gone ahead, I think that this was all steam ahead straight into an All-Ireland League in one version or another, not like the Standard Cup we had, but in a proper league. I think it could be good for the game. I think it would create an interest in the game. I think monies will come into the game. And I think we can't sustain two semi-amateur leagues on the island. I think if we get one good professional league, it can only be good for football in the island, be it senior football and junior football, because then at least kids have an idea of where they can go to and that there is an actual a job, an economy of football here, where it doesn't seem to be that way at the moment.
Pat, obviously, you'd have to presume that things are going on behind the scenes and there's a bigger picture perhaps at play. What's your latest read on what's happened in recent weeks in terms of the All-Ireland League?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of discussion around it and, you know, there's been a lot of talk about it. I said from the very start, and again, obviously, I'm working at Linfield and, you know, I have my own view and the club would have their view on it. But I think where we are at the moment, I think it's now shown to both associations that the majority of clubs want to see, can this be taken forward? And I've always said that from the very start of this, you should take it as far as we can. You know, dialogue doesn't hurt anybody. Take it as far as you can. If there's a case that both associations can take this to UEFA, and UEFA come back and say, listen, yeah, this is something worth exploring, or no, this is not going to happen. Well, then, you know, if it's a no, well, then we know it's done and dusted. But if it's something that can be explored, and I've always felt that, you know, if you're governing the game, whether that's in the north of Ireland or in the south of Ireland, your job is to try make that game better continuously. How do you develop it? How do you make it better? And that's what they've got to take into account, the associations. Sometimes self-preservation gets in the way a lot of this stuff. It's how we can bring the game on. How can we make the game better? We are playing at, for me, professional football at the moment. We're probably, in fairness to the League of Ireland, it's probably further ahead in the professional terms to the north, but it's still only playing at it. It's not really professional, and that's not a criticism of clubs at the moment because they're doing their best. But, you know, if we're going to be serious about being a professional football league, things like this have to be explored and see how can the revenues be brought in to make this happen. You know, and explore it. Bring it to its final conclusion. That's what I would like to see happen. And then at the end of the day, you know, I'm sure the clubs will make a decision. But I think the fact that 10 of the Premier clubs in the north of Ireland, or 10 out of 12, and then the 10 in the Premier have said, listen, we want to explore this. Well, then I think both associations have a duty to go and explore that.
Yeah. And is that the nub of the issue for you, self-preservation? Because the Irish Football Association in Belfast has, in the past, knocked this one back whenever clubs have raised the possibility of an All-Ireland League.
Yeah, well, we've heard at the start of this, you know, the main obstacle was the international teams, European places, you know. So gradually they've all been answered. Now we're at the situation, well, where's the money, what is the money? And there's a point to that as well, that has to be shown to where it can get to from a financial level. But I think we're at a point now where, like I said, the clubs have said, listen, we want to look at it. So, you know, the duty for them is to go and explore that and see can it be taken further. And if it can't, I still think there's a lot of lessons can be taken out of it. There's a lot of good people have been involved in these discussions that maybe can be used if both leagues are to stay the way they are, to take both leagues forward as separate entities. That's fine as well, you know, but, you know, how do you take the game? How do you make the game better? That's all it should be about. It shouldn't be about individuals or, like I said, self-preservation in jobs and titles. Make the game better. That's your job.
Yeah. And Conan, you're at Glenavon, of course, these days. And they obviously support the proposal because they're one of the 10 out of 12 teams in the north that submitted the letter. When you talk to people around Glenavon, what sort of feedback do you get whenever the subject of an All-Ireland League is discussed? Are they positively favourable towards it, or are there mixed feelings? What sort of vibe do you get?
You know, I haven't been up there now, Adrian, since March. So when there was talk about it, like, I went up to Glenavon, and being totally honest with you, I'd say 75% of the players didn't know who I was. So there's not that real kind of interest from the players up there in the league down here. And I think it'd be likewise if you asked the players down here and the interest in the Northern Irish League. I think it'd be very, very similar. It was only when Rhys Marshall signed for Shamrock Rovers that players started to ask more questions about the league down here. And obviously Rhys has been doing very, very well. And so in terms of the All-Ireland League and the proposals that were put forward earlier on in the year, like, Glenavon's a part-time club, so there's a lot of players that work during the day. So you can imagine those players going down to Turner's Cross on a Tuesday, they'd find it very, very difficult. Obviously, with the money's coming in, they were going to try and make it a professional setup. But that's just from the Northern Irish and from Glenavon. Obviously, with the full-time teams up there, they have their, and 10 of the clubs, including Glenavon, have said, let's go and have this dialogue and let's have this conversation and see if it can happen. My own personal opinion of it is, and I don't mean to sound negative, but it's like doing up the garden while the house is in need of repair. And I'm talking about our own league when I say that. I think that the current state of our stadiums won't be attractive for fans to go and watch a brand new product. Whereas I don't see the rush in all this. Like, I don't understand why we can't sort out some basic infrastructure at club level. I feel that there's still a lack of connection with communities at clubs. The disconnect of thousands of fans that goes across the water to watch foreign leagues, not just the Premier League. They go to Spain, they go to Germany. Like, even the lack of training grounds owned by the clubs. Like, it's just the simple things. But can you imagine now in 5-10 years time, when
hopefully Drogheda have their own stadium, St Harps have their own stadium, Bowes and Shells have, are in a redeveloped Daymount Park, Shamrock Rovers have the four stands, and then bring it to it and bring it towards a professional setup then, where a lot more teams are ready for this. I think that it's just all stems around money. But as we all know, and we've learned about this in the League of Ireland for decades, money rarely changes anything. And the proposals are really, really good. Kieran Luce, really, really impressive individual. And I'm not saying no to this. I'm just saying I prefer to see more stuff being done at club levels in the SSE or Tricity League first, than trying to create this product that might not take off because of the current state of affairs where we are at the moment. Now, as I said, the IFA don't seem keen on the idea either. I know Pat referred to it there about they thought that they're losing the European places and it might hurt the country's coefficient and make it harder for them to compete. But like, even just an alternative, like, why can't we just modernise the League of Ireland and include an All-Ireland Cup competition first? And like similar to this Atlanta Cup, and use it as a trial to see if the appetite is there, because we don't know if the appetite is there from the fans, from shareholders, from even the sponsors. We don't know that the appetite is there yet. So why don't we try and do a test series first? The Atlanta Cup initially was absolutely fantastic. It was a great competition, and Pat was very successful in that. So he might be able to talk more about the ins and outs of it. But it kind of faded, didn't it, in towards the end? And I just like to see something like that happen first before we throw all our eggs in one basket.
Fair points raised there, Pat.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, the Setanta Cup, go back to the Setanta Cup. The Setanta Cup failed because the money dropped out of it. And that's the real reason why teams started and failed weaker teams, because the potential of earning the money they were initially was gone. My I understand what Colin is saying. There's a lot of work has gone into this, but if you take where we are at the moment, you know, we've had a lot of time of trying to progress the league and progress, whether it's the Irish League or the League of Ireland. You know, you've got a situation in the north of Ireland where the winning team gets 22 grand to win the league, you know, which is scandalous when you think about it. You know, so we don't have any TV rights. We've no real income coming into the game, bar what comes through the turnstile and raising sponsorship, as we've seen in Sligo's case, fans going out and raising it. So what's to lose? We're in a position at the moment where I think that both leagues are at a point where, you know, it needs something to change. You know, and here's an opportunity to look at it. This doesn't say change, you know, absolutely go and change. It's to look at it. All it's saying is the two associates is go and look at this and see where it can be taken to. You know, if there's not a willingness, you know, from UEFA, then it's dead in the water anyway. But like I said before, there may be people that's been involved in this that might be able to get around both leagues anyway to try bring them on a separate league. So I've always said from the start, you know, bring it to its final conclusion and let's see where it gets to.
Yeah, I think Pat's right there. There's a couple of things to unpack. Number one is that as soon as Conan showed up on the training ground, I'm taking you busted out a YouTube clip of a goal in Daily Mail just to remind people who you were. But the second point is, the grounds and all that, people have been talking about that in the League of Ireland for years. Like, the way I look at how our infrastructure here is so poorly is, can I bring my daughter to a football ground and she can go to the toilet? And unfortunately, in several grounds in the League of Ireland, the answer is no. But as Pat says, if we get this going and the infrastructure there and the money comes along with it, that will then lead to better facilities. As you said yourself, Conan, the likes of Dalyman's being redeveloped, hopefully Finn Harps, hopefully Drogheda. So we have some modern stadia. But there's no point us having a modern stadia if our league is still an amateurish league with finances not coming into it where they should be. And as Pat said, I think this is a case of we talk this out, we see where it goes, and then we give it the best shot we can, just for not just for the League of Ireland, but for football on the island in general.
And just on that as well, and Conan's point in relation to, and I have raised this with Kieran Lucid in relation to a brand new shiny pin. You know, if we, and I would be sort of an opinion as well that this doesn't have to happen in the next year or two. you know, if there's an agreement that this can be looked at and can be taken forward, I would agree that we've got to start this as a brand new shiny pin. And that might be the time frame to sort out what it is going forward in relation to infrastructure. So I think it's the concept. Is it doable? Is it acceptable from the people that govern the game in UEFA? And then it's obviously with the two associations. It doesn't mean we have to go and start it next season. I just think if it's a case, it can be done. Is there a time frame then to say it doesn't need to be done next season? It doesn't need to be something.
What sort of time frame would you look at?
I agree to one point Colin said. I think if you're going to have a brand new product, it has to look and it has to impress at the very start. You know, and you know how long does that going to take in relation to infrastructure? The stadiums are, a lot of them in disrepair and need a lot of work. But as obviously, you know, that's got to be lobbied to at government level as well. If it's a cross-border tournament, you know, potential, is there potential money there in relation to you know, the troubles that went on as well? There's serious money that's being invested across lots of codes in that regard. So there's a lot of avenues to look at. I think it's just a case of if it can happen, okay, can we, you know, UEFA are comfortable if you proceed right and see where it gets to.
But it's about, I guess the question then becomes, and it's further to Conan's points, the broad points that he made. Now, in the midst of a global pandemic, is this the right time to be looking at something like that? Should you be looking at maybe 5 years down the line? This is what we're looking at. And if we have the infrastructure in place, then we can look to proceed on this. I'm just asking the question. In the short term, is this the right
time
to be
doing that? I think 5 years down the line is too far for me. I think if you get the go ahead to go and proceed, I think you've got to. I think the potential at the moment is the clubs will want to jump fairly quickly. I would imagine. I think talking to some of the southern clubs, I think they're fairly keen to jump fairly quickly too. I'm not sure that's the case in the north of Ireland, and it's still a lot of convincing to do at clubs. Yeah, absolutely. And my own club, I've got a personal opinion on it that I'd like to see it happen. We will take a bit of convincing to convince our people that it's the right road to go, you know, and that may take time as well to get people into the mindset of that is the way to go. But what will change is finances, and that's the only thing that will change is for all clubs is finances, money coming into the Irish League or the League of Ireland or as a combined league. It's about the resources. We don't have resources at the moment, and if that can come in through different streams, well then that will change people's opinion on it.
And just a word on it, you don't have to tell us if, you know, because I wouldn't want you breaking any private conversations, but in terms of the board, say at Linfield, given that they backed the letter that was sent to the IFA, would there be much division in terms of that letter?
I think the letter to the IFA was just to explore the situation. There's no commitment from Linfield in regard to that. It's about an exploration of to see, you know, where this can be taken to. I think if it gets to the stage where it's up for discussion, well then it will be an interesting discussion at board level and at membership level of the club, you know. And but you know, discussion is healthy, you know. It's there would be a fear, you know, maybe at some people at Linfield. I don't have any fear at Linfield because potentially we're bigger than any of them. That's my opinion on it. And can we reach that potential where we are? Hard to say. It was an All-Ireland League. Could we reach a potential? I think we have, absolutely.
Yeah, Conan, do you want to come back in there?
Yeah, I think, like, as I said, I think Linfield and what Pat's saying there is that it's a massive club. I was on the wrong end of an 8-1 defeat up there, up in Windsor Park, up in January. And the facilities that they have, the players that they have, they can compete. They'd be up to Dundalk, Shamrock Rovers level, absolutely no problem. I know they've lost a hell of a player in Joe Cooper, who I thought was an incredible talent. When I saw him play, the few times that I did see him, but they have other players that are well capable of moving across the water and onto bigger, better things. They have international players, so Linfield they'd be by far and away one of the biggest clubs in the league if this All-Ireland League does take place. And look, it might sound that I'm against this idea. I actually amn't. I actually would love to see an All-Ireland League, but I want to see it when it's ready. I want to see it when this product can, as Pat says there, like a shiny bin.
Okay. Just before we wrap up, just get your thoughts, because I thought it was interesting what Conan said as well, Pat, that people in the Republic wouldn't be familiar with the teams in the North. And I guess I wonder, would the lads that play at Linfield, would they have any interest at all in what's going on between Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers?
Maybe in passing. I think it's such a big club that they're engrossed in that. I think they have a great interest when we come up against them. You know, there's always that desire, even in friendlies, you know, to make sure that we represent the club properly. So, But I would think it'd be the same in both leagues. I've played in both leagues, so when I was in playing in the Northern League, you know, the interest was probably as it is now. It was discussed at times, but not overly interested in it, no.
And cup semi-finals on Monday, double header, Ballymena against Coleraine at 4 at Windsor Park, followed by Cliftonville against Glentoran. The final is on Friday evening. How would you call it?
Two good semi-finals and two difficult semi-finals to call. Coleraine have had a brilliant season, in fairness to them, and we'd probably feel a little bit hard done by that the league was called when it was. They were 4 points behind us and playing really well. They're a good side. I'd fancy, Big Davey won't thank me for this, but I'd fancy Coleraine to beat Ballymena. And the other one is toss of a coin, Glentoran against Cliftonville. You know, Cliftonville have lots going forward, defensively struggle a little bit. The Glens have been hot and cold, so hard to call that one, to be honest. But I would probably go for a Coleraine Cliftonville final.
Okay. All right, lads, we'll leave it there. James, a final word for the streaming service. People can get on board. Well worth it, as you said. €1 a game.
Yeah, €1 a game. Sign up, watch LOI, and I believe, because I haven't signed up myself yet, because obviously I'll be working on most of the matches, but make sure to put in the club you support. I think that's one of the vital things when you're signing up, just to let people know the club you're supporting, and then they can see it across the algorithms to see what supporters are tuning in. It'll all kick off on Friday with Derry versus Sligo Rovers. What a way to kick it off.
Absolutely. And the great thing as well, James, this is the 25th edition this year of the RT Soccer Podcast. And next week, at long last, we can talk about football.
We get to speak about football.
Yeah, we only had something like five weeks, wasn't it, of football talk. And well, there you go. We can look forward to next weekend.
We can actually talk about live football. It'll be great.
It'll be great, hopefully. All right, guys. Many thanks, Pat Fenlon, Conan Byrne, and James O'Toole, as always. From me, Adrian Eames. Until the next time. Bye-bye.